So the learning today should be a schus, as always, Lila Nishmas, Adir Chaver Chaim Elozeb Ben Shem Shinarye, and also a schus, Lila Nishmas, of Yaakov Yosef Ben Chaim Nachem Ben Zion. Should be a schus for Fur Shlema, for Chaim Moshe Yeshua, Ben Malka Chaim Deb, Ben Menorach, Chanalea, Bashen Derach, Abadati Ben Peril, and Rafal Avram, the Sanal Ben Mashaliba. And it should be a schus for all those in the Makam Sakana and Eitz Yisrael, including Azriel Baruch Ben Penina and Dania Shlema Ben Rostaka. So we continue now in the concept of Bas, the topic of Bas, daughters. We're on page 268. And in Yana Diyayma, we're going to talk now about how to choose a proper shidduch. There's two weddings tonight, Baruch Hashem. So we'll talk about what type of shidduch a person should look for his daughter. V'hein emes she'amru chachamim, even though tonight it's two sons getting married off, but on the other side, there's daughters. V'hein emes she'amru, in truth, they said, she'chachamim, she'chayiv adam l'kashen his bitay, that a person is supposed to enhance the attractiveness of his daughter. He's supposed to put her on makeup and get her nice clothes, so that people will jump at the opportunity to marry her. But a girl who has Yiras Hashem is not going to allow herself to be shown off in front of men, meaning that she'll just be paraded in front of men, and certainly when she is dressed very nice, so as not to cause men to stumble because of thoughts of her. So there's a responsibility to make her look decent and attractive so that when people check her out for the chasson, that she looks presentable, but not that she should be parading herself around in front of men. And he says, especially in our times when the priestess has escalated, and that's hundreds of years ago, alachas kama v'kama today. So I would, based on this, I would say maybe we shouldn't be passing around pictures of girls like they're trading cards. Kvar amru b'shas, like Chazal say in the Gemara in Saita, lamadnu yiras chet mipsula de Rabbi Yochanan, that we learn the proper yiras chet from the b'sula, from the was a b'sula, that Rabbi Yochanan shama lo'isa b'sula shayisa mitzbalos. He once heard her davening. In other words, he overheard the tefillah of a b'sula. She said like this. She said, Ribbono shel olam, barasa gan eden, barasa gehenim. You created gan eden and gehenim. Barasa tzadikim, barasa rishayim. He ratzamulfanacha, it should be the will in front of you, Hashem, that men should not stumble into an Avera because of me. In other words, she had such a great fear of Avera, Yiras Chet, that it wasn't enough that she tried avoiding the Avera herself, but she davened that other people should not, out of beyond her control, people should not be tempted to sin through her. He says all basule should do similarly. But Tiana Tzvuna is called Kavuda Basmelech Panima. They should make themselves tzafa, like hidden, so that the because Kol Kavuda Basmelech Panima Leiterachutz Elayin shouldn't allow herself to be seen unnecessarily. So it doesn't mean to go around like the crazy people and in the burkas, the leftar people. That's not the right approach. But what it means is that you don't go unnecessarily, or when you go. There was the daughter of Reb Chanina that we talked about, that she went, but she overheard someone saying how nice are this woman's steps. And so she walked very deliberately to show herself off. But to go in the street, to go shopping or to go out to eat, no one's saying that that's not appropriate to do. He says in the Arab areas, they are careful with this. They wear the burqas. But in the Adomi cities, it's the opposite. They are completely open and prussed. He says, if someone's going to excuse themselves by saying, okay, this is the Minig Medina, people go out, people socialize. So what am I supposed to do if the socialization leads for people to sin? So he says, Minog, if you rearrange the words, Minog, it turns into Gehenim. So he says, so you can also hide behind Minog, but that doesn't mean that you're going to be saved from Gehenna. The Isha Yiras Hashem Hitasalav Leitelech Achri Rabim Lurais, right? And don't, the old example of if everyone's jumping off the bridge, you're going to jump off too. Just because everyone's doing it, you don't follow the Rav if people are doing something that's wrong. You only follow when there's a Safek who's right. Then you follow the majority. And then he says, if she resists the taiva, the reward will be doubled and quadrupled. The cause of the Sefer Hasidim, he writes in Sefer Hasidim, Shinara Achas Lehoisam is Kashetas Klal. He says that there was once a girl who never put on makeup or got dressed up or put on jewelry at all, so that no one should see her and be caused to stumble. And as a result, she was zeichet to find a exceedingly fine shidduch with the Talmud Chacham. So again, these are just extreme examples, but the point of them is to remind that the girls should not be out socializing. The girls should not be out parading themselves in front of men, even hiding behind. Well, they're doing it for shidduch purposes. The Rivla Hashem im Ashirei Am, and he says Hashem is going to take up a fight against those wealthy people. Asher Kabir Matsa Yadam Hain Asik, who they are very wealthy, and yet instead of looking for a proper shidduch for their daughter with a Talmud Chacham that they could support, or with someone that comes from a very fine family or has fine midos, they're looking for someone who's on the same stratosphere as them. Because they say, I want that my daughter should have the finer things in life. And when she goes to the other side, I want someone that I can relate to, that can relate to me in terms of wealth. So in their checkboxes, the biggest checkbox that they have is that someone should be as wealthy as them. And they downplay other important things like Torah and Midos. They spend very freely to give a huge dowry of thousands and tens of thousands of dollars in dowry. In order to get these young men, as far as bin shem, kalim reikim, they're empty kalim, mitar of yirat sasha. Because the only prerequisite that you have is that they should be wealthy, but you disregard how they are inside. And so you end up with very empty people. And obviously he's talking about in a time when you go back, and really you don't even have to go back that far. You can go back probably 75, right before the Holocaust, I would say, is probably when you still had the fathers choosing the shidduchim for the daughters, right? I think that changed pretty much when after the war, when people came to America, and then the men and women would meet on their own. But you go back certainly 100 years, and you have the men choosing, so the daughters had very little say. It would basically be you would choose the shidduch, and then all you would do is bring together the boy and the girl for an hour just to meet to make sure that they found each other, I guess, that they found it was a suitable shidduch, you know, if they were attractive and the personalities clicked. But basically, it was off paper. The whole shidduch and the whole shidduch process was done based off of statistics. So there, that's what he's talking about. So there, it's not like the daughter has a say in it. The father is picking the shidduch for the daughter. But it could still apply today because you turn down shidduchim, you know, when the mother's, let's say, looking at the resumes, she turns down shidduchim for people that are on paper very good for the daughter, but because she doesn't feel that the family is on their level of status. He says, if only they would be wise, that even if they are as wealthy as the Shemaya, meaning if they have all the money in the world, it's not permanent, but ultimately it will descend into oblivion, meaning it's here today and gone tomorrow. Like we see, kama v'kama, so many people, when they get married, they were exceedingly wealthy. We see this, people who at points in their life are exceedingly wealthy, and then that they lose that wealth, and they're wandering around for bread. And unfortunately, this happens more and more. People who are in this type of situation try to hide it. But I'm sure we've all heard of stories of people who were very wealthy and then Nebuch one day, it's gone. He says, let's say he does keep her wealth. It's still not going to be a fun marriage for this woman. Sha'al haroiv ain bai le'ima. He says, most of the time, the husband's not around. He's busy traveling. He's traveling for business. He's traveling with friends. He's traveling for pleasure. But he's always around. He's always anywhere but home. He's always busy with his employees and his business. As we say, more money, more problems. He's going to be among those who get up early and stay up late and eat the bread of sorrows, which means you have the money, but you don't have the enjoyment to live with it. You're so busy running after it that you forget to take a few dollars and enjoy yourself. And so this wife, yeah, you'll have all the money in the world, but it's going to be a very lonely type of relationship. Meaning if the only consideration is wealth and obviously not midos, so then, and not Torah, so you have a husband who's not making time for learning. He's potentially not even going to Minyan. He throws on his tefillin and takes it off. And then he's gone all day and dealing with business because he's got to make more money. He's got to keep the money flowing. So that is a empty marriage. Because he's always busy and always under pressure, so there's going to be a lot of fights between the husband and the wife for stupid things, just because there's always this constant pressure. And he doesn't even say it, but I'll add that I see so many times, Ephraim and I see so many times, families that are torn apart because of fights, because of the Yerusha, which is another thing that I was talking, I don't even remember what I was talking with over Shabbos, but someone was saying that they told the Rav that they feel everyone, I think Ephraim maybe you said it, that he told the Rav that everyone should die poor. Because if everyone died poor, you would never have these silly fights that you have with the Yarshim that you have, unfortunately, where people inherit and then there's these machlokesin and these lawsuits, et cetera, et cetera. I'm sorry, Yigdal Tsarim, he Yiras Hashem, he says, if your daughter has Yiras Shemayim, she was brought up properly, and she's living with a husband who's a boor, who's an ice fire, so that's going to hurt her even more that she sees her husband is not doing the things that she feels are important. It says he's not careful with mitzvahs like many Amei Yaretz are not careful. It comes out that, yeah, her financial state, her personal financial statement looks great. There's millions of dollars in the bank. She has anything that she wants, and yet she's bitter and unhappy. Why? Because the things that are important to her, you disregarded when looking for the shidduch. Not so for someone who gives his daughter to a Tamachacham. How good is her portion and her lot? You'll have happiness in this world and the next world, because even if you don't have a lot of money, but the husband will treat her right, there'll be a happy marriage. And obviously, through the work that the husband's doing and the work that the wife is doing together, raising the children, building a house of Torah, they're going to get Olam Haba as well. She'll always live a life of contentment. She'll find honor and not lack any fortune. So the idea being that you got to make sure that you have your priorities straight in terms of when you're looking for a shidduch, really any type of relationship, you don't look just for status symbols. You don't just look for someone who could relate to you in terms of money. But what you're looking for really is someone that's going to treat your daughter well, that's going to treat your son well, that's going to make a good shidduch for them. Because it's not about money that's going to make a happy marriage for the children, but rather it is the way that they treat one another, the respect that they have for one another, and inviting God into the home. That is what's going to make true shalom bayis between the kids.